We sing, He set me free.
Hallelujah.
And it means something. You know what I mean? And Pastor Joe, and we're going to watch a video here in a minute before he comes, but we've just stayed in touch. And then a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Joe showed up in the foyer. We came out of something, and I walked out, and Bonnie was like, "Hey, look." And I'm like, "Hey, Pastor Joe." And he's like, "Hey." And he sat through the lesson, and not to take away from anything else, he's a man of God. He's a missionary from Uganda to
Amen.
Uganda,
Amen.
Okay? And you know how we feel about missions around here, right? We got a little issue with them, right? In other words, we love missions, right? I'm thankful that he's here today. I'm thankful that you get an opportunity to hear him speak today. I'm going to sit down and get fed the word of God. Praise God. I'm just going to sit down and receive the word of God. And so before Pastor Joe comes up, we want to watch the video, right? And then my friend, and now Don's best friend, because he's from Uganda, and we're going to hear from Pastor Joe, okay?
Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Bishop Joe Lotaya from Uganda, Africa. We come to you and we want to thank you for your encouragement, for your prayers, and for your financial support that you give to us as we... Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Bishop Joe Lotaya from Uganda, Africa. We come to you and we want to thank you for your encouragement, for your prayers, and for your financial support that you give to us as we minister in Africa in the very cruel places. And this time of the year, we still ask you that you may continue to support us, you may continue to be with us, stand with us as we reach in many places in Africa, ministering the word of God and touching lives, teaching them how to be clean, teaching them sanitation, teaching them many things, and even providing them necessary things, and health wise and spiritual wise. May God bless you greatly. This is Bishop Joe from Africa. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Bishop Joe Lotaya from Uganda, Africa. We come to you and we want to thank you for your encouragement, for your prayers, and for your financial support that you give to us as we minister.
There we go. That was great. Hey,
good morning, church. Yeah, sure I did. Yeah, let me have this microphone a little bit higher than this. I'm excited to be here today, and I feel the blessing of God in the house. Can somebody say amen? In Uganda, we get excited when we are about to hear the word of God. And I hope you do also today. A few days ago, of course, we had Thanksgiving here, and I had some troubles with some people. Of course, they were mentioning the kind of food. Somebody said turkey, gravy, and of course, I didn't know what exactly they said in the first place, so I said smashed potato. So people said, what? I said smashed potato. They said, no, it is mashed potato. I was like, okay. So the English in Uganda is a little bit different from American English. So we differ in words somehow, somewhere. But I'm believing God today that the Holy Spirit is going to interpret accurately the words in the right language that you need to hear it. Can somebody say amen? The video clip we've just seen, maybe we didn't see the all of it. It was a little bit difficult, but I oversee over 300 churches in Uganda. We have orphanages, and we have a lot of things going on in the ministry there in Uganda. I can't call it my ministry, but the Lord is ministry that He has entrusted us with. And we've seen a great move of God. Young people getting saved and getting serious with God. If you move in some of the cities in Uganda, you'll find young people on the street or on corners speaking the word of God, preaching the word of God, which is not here. How I believe it, how I wish it comes here too. Everyone is busy, but they keep on speaking the word of God. We have services every day. And every day. And and we have also what we call lunch hour meetings. People will skip their lunches. I know here it's difficult for a person to skip lunch. But people skip lunch and they come for an hour in the service and they hear the word of God from 12 up to 1 p.m. Then they are ready to go back to their daily job or to the office. And then till evening when they go back home. So it is such a tremendous revival that God is doing in Uganda. Uganda has gone through a very tough time. And it's been all prayers that God has brought us where we are right now. We can't say we're okay. Uganda is a very small country. And we are neighboring many countries. We have Congo, we have Sudan, we have Kenya, we have Tanzania, we have Rwanda, Burundi. They are just neighboring us. But most times whenever they have troubles, they run into Uganda. But Uganda is very small. Right now we have about maybe 2 million Sudanese that are in Uganda. And we are trying to see how we can take care of them. Not only Sudanese, but also Congolese, Rwandese, and many others come to Uganda. So, but one thing I've loved, that as they come, they meet the people who speak the word of God, who preach Christ. And they receive Christ, many of them. And I believe running from trouble and running to Christ is a very good thing. So by the time things get okay back in their homes or in their countries and they go back, I believe great churches are going to spring forth because they have known the truth and they have embraced Christ. They have known the Lord. Can somebody say amen? I have some books. I've almost written more than 10 books. And I have this one today, which says The Healing Place. I believe the church today is the place that the world needs to be healed, whereby people are beaten up by politics, by many other things, troubles in the world. But when they come to the house of God, they come in the church. That's where they find rest. That's where their lives can be healed. If a person can be healed spiritually, I tell you that's a great blessing. That person will be healed all the way. Can somebody say amen? So this book is available. If you want it, you'll be able to get it. Today I want to share with you the word of God that God has put on my heart. If you came with your Bible, you came with the iPad or the cell phone or anything whereby you can access the Bible, that would be good. Turn with me in the book of Acts chapter 8. And I want to begin reading from verses 1. Acts chapter 8. If we would do one thing and you stand up and we read the word of God together, that would be beautiful. Here reads the word of God. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at the time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devoted many carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and harrowing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing miracles which he did. For the unclean spirits, crying out with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with paralysis, and that were lame were healed. Verses 8. And there was great joy in the city. Holy Spirit of God, today we ask you that you may help us to understand the mysteries and the oracles, the secrets of heaven. All you can do today is to open this roof and let the rain of heaven comes down. Touch us in the areas of our lives. Let the word of God encourage us. Let the word of God heal us. Let the word of God draw us closer to the cross. Help us, Lord, today that we may leave this place not the same way we came. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. If you came today like the way I came, that I was expectant to receive from the Lord, then this is your place. But if you came for any other reason, and I will tell you, be patient too, somehow the Lord will minister to you. As we have just read the scripture, something comes up in my mind that the church of Christ today is under attack. You may not realize it here in America as we do in different countries, but the church is under attack, as it was during the days of the disciples or the apostles. And the word of God reads about this man, Saul, that he was persecutor of the church. Today you might think of Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and many others that are trying to persecute the Christians. But even besides those, there are those within, not even Muslims, but they are also against the church. Saul was a persecutor of the church, and he persecuted men and women, those who had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have believers today? And the church was going in such a tough time. They tried to pray. They tried everything. Until the Holy Spirit gave them wisdom somehow to do something extraordinary. The Holy Spirit gave them wisdom to get scattered, because if they would stay in one place, if Saul was going house to house, getting men and women, putting them to prison, how about if he met them in a place like this, all of them gathered together? What would happen? I live in Uganda. There was a time when we had wars, and the Holy Spirit impressed it upon me to call the people for prayer. We didn't gather in the church because churches were already a target. So we gathered in different building. The government had already announced a curfew and told everybody not more than 4 people should be in one place. They knew maybe what they were talking about. If anything happens, at least if they kill 2, that would be okay. But if more gather in one place, it would be a disaster. But the Holy Spirit put upon my heart to tell the people, let's pray. Now, when we gather for prayers, you don't expect only 2 to 3 people. I know if Pastor Dave here called for prayers here, maybe 3 or 4 would show up in the whole church. Because not many people love to pray. Not many people are devoted to prayer. Now, the first day we had 50 people in one place. When the government said not more than 4 people. So there I said, well, let's carry on. Let's pray. People were on their knees praying because things were out of control. People were dying anyhow. The second day, we were about 100 in one place. We continued building up to 200 members that came to pray in one place. One of the days that I saw the hand of God is when I was standing up and leading the prayers. When everybody is just on the knees praying, I saw the line of soldiers coming to the very building where we were, armed, ready to do anything. I don't know whether they were taped, some people are in that building or what, I don't know. But they were lining up, coming towards the building. and taking positions. Along the way coming, many people were being shot who would just maybe come out for any reason. Many dead bodies were already out. Now think about us who were within the building. And I begin to pray, oh Lord, blind the eyes of these people, of these soldiers. It would look like a crazy prayer. It would look like somebody doesn't understand what he's doing. But that's the kind of prayer I prayed. I say, Lord, blind their eyes. And they approached the building. Some of them began to look in the windows to see who are inside. Immediately, as I'm praying like that, I saw a jeep of their commander move across and is calling them to go immediately to him so that they may take positions in another area. That was a miracle. To this day, I thank God because it could have been in the record books of Uganda that Brother Joe, the pastor of that, he called about 200, over 200 people in one place, and all of them, they were massacred. But I thank God for the miracle that he did. The church was under attack during the apostles' days. Men prayed, women prayed, and God told them, the Spirit told them, it is now time to scatter. If you continue to stay here, there will be a problem. Now, if I and the pastor would hear such a word of members of the church or believers getting scattered, it wouldn't be a good word for us. All we need is the believers to be together. We want them to come together. But this time, the Holy Spirit worked it different. Not what people would think, not what men would think is right. But he wanted it in his own way. And they began to scatter in different areas as we've just been reading. The church is under attack. Recently, maybe just yesterday, I was watching they call it the Iron Ball. To some people today are not feeling good even to come to church. And others may be overexcited not to come to church too. Simply because of the Iron Ball that happened. I'm told Iron Ball or Super Bowl here is a god. People love it to death. Now, if it can reach to such an extent that a person is so much overjoyed or upset and does not even feel want to come to church, that's a problem. The church is under attack. And the believers began to scatter in different areas. What I'm surprised of, they never went to bury their heads in the sand. All to say, "Ooh, I've escaped. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be safe here. Let me be safe." No. All they did, a person in record, is Philip. Philip went to the city of Samaria. Samaritans were not the best people or in the best books or friends with Jews. A Jew would take
even 10 miles or more, provided he has not stepped or passed very close to Samaritans. But I see this man, Philip, take his life for the sake of the gospel to go to Samaria and preach Christ. The Bible records this man began to preach the gospel. He preached Christ. He preached the good news. Why did he take all this time to do that? Why did he put his life online to preach Christ when he has been persecuted because of Christ? But anyhow, he did. And the Bible records there were extraordinary miracles that happened through the preaching of the word of the good news. Those who had demon possessed with them, when they heard the good news being preached, the demons decided to scream and leave the people free. Isn't that wonderful? I'm told, some people told me in America they are not demons. But I know of some, because I've met some people who are depressed. I've met of people who are hateful. I've met of people who are troubled. I've met of people who are completely hooked on drugs and many other things. Phil preached the word of God, and the demons left people because of the preaching. How I love the preaching of the good news. The world today is full of bad news. The media today is full. They have specialized in one thing: bad news. They have gone into the psyche of people, and they want to influence everybody to buy only bad news. And people do that. They buy bad news at a very high rate. In fact, it is told, bad news go faster like a hot cake. So the manufacturers of bad news, they are tireless. They don't get tired to manufacture those bad news all the time because they go faster. But I'm so glad for the good news. Whereby people hear the bad news, I want somebody to speak the good news. Good news does a lot of good to the lives of people. But hear me today. Good news is not in White House. Good news is not in Capitol Hill. Good news is not in Washington. Good news is not with the Senate or the governor. Good news is from the Lord. Good news is in the Word of God. The government can pay much more, or will pay much more, if somebody will make some people happy. Hollywood is doing their best to make people happy, entertained all the time. But how I wish people can come to the house of God and hear some good news, because their lives will change. The Bible records, and there was great joy in the city. Which means before there was no joy in the city. How many people do we have? Let me use the word peoples. That's not good English for us as British, kind of. How many peoples don't have joy? They have tried everything. They have tried drugs to give them joy, happiness. They have tried alcohol. They have tried women. They have tried pornography. They have tried anything that will keep them happy. But all that has failed. I love the good news. Because if somebody comes in the presence of God, something extraordinary happens. The Bible says that in His presence, there is fullness of joy. Thank God for you today that you have access to the house of God. And I believe you can't leave this place the same way you came. If you do, then you need real prayers. Because in His presence, there is fullness of joy. How I urge you today, take the joy of the Lord. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. As a child of God, as a believer, in a stressful world, in a troubled world, you need the joy of the Lord to be your strength. I love the good news. One time, America had a crisis, a problem, and all they needed is to import some singers from United Kingdom to come and entertain people, make people happy. Those were the Beatles. They wanted to change the political tide. But the only way they could do that is to keep people happy. Entertain them with a lot of music. But that worked for a very short time too. But I love the Word of God because it's everlasting. And one time, Jesus met this woman at the well, of which the woman had tried everything possible, too many men, in order to keep herself happy, but it wasn't possible. Until Jesus shows up and tells her, oh, whatever you've tried doesn't work. How about if you try the waters, the water I give to you, because if you do, your thirst, your trouble will come to an end. Out of your body, out of your life, your belly, rivers of living waters shall begin to flow. The world is waiting for boys and girls, men and women, who don't only smile and just, but those whom they see and say, there is something on you that we don't understand. Where do you get this? Where do you get this joy when you are such under pressure? Where do you get this peace when everything around you is not conducive, is not good? There is something they don't understand. They see upon you something different. That is the well of the living water flowing inside of you. And they would love that. They would love to partake on that. Some will be jealous, but they say, she has something different. He has something different. This is what the world wants today. That out of our lives, wells of living waters will flow. The world is waiting for us. This is what David said. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Today the service might be a little bit different. Maybe you are waiting for somebody, or maybe the pastor or somebody to say, okay, now the altar is open. You can come and pray. Come on. The altar. But even before that happens, as you feel the Spirit of God move upon your life, you can do that even before the altar call. This is what happened one time. I was preaching in another church, and a certain lady had a problem, and she was under very high conviction. She wanted to come to the altar so bad. But somehow, fear struck her very hard. And she couldn't get out of her seat to come to the altar. But after the service, she met me at the foyer and said, "Preacher, can you pray for me?" I said, "Yes. You know, I wanted to come to the altar as the altar call was being made. But I couldn't. Fear struck me so bad that I couldn't. But here I am. I want prayers. I need help. Can you pray for me?" Now, to some people, that can be their problem. But how I urge you today, that when the Spirit of God moves upon your head, you don't hesitate to move to the altar. Don't wait for the altar call or for the song. All you need is to come. Let the joy of the Lord fill your heart. Let the peace that passes all understanding in the troubled world. Let something new, let an unction happen unto your life by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit. For He is here for you. In His presence, something good can happen. Don't dare to go out without receiving. If you went to the doctor today and you wanted help from the doctor, I don't think you can live without his help. The whole reason why our services in Africa take so long is maybe because people walk great distances. They want to access the presence of God. But here people drive. But even when they drive in a few minutes, they look on their watches, the pastor is taking too long. I want to leave. How I pray that something happens to your life. A change. A blessing may go with you. In the name of Jesus. If you know that the church is under attack, then you need to access more of His presence. You need to pray as never before. I've been to places whereby Christians are persecuted heavily. I saw a certain clip of which
they found a person holding a Bible, and they decided to cut off his hand so that he may not hold the Bible anymore or read the Bible anymore. Here in America, you are blessed because such persecutions have not happened. But yet, there are other persecutions that are within. Even in the service, sometimes. Even in the church, sometimes something happens that you are under attack right then. That's why we need the Holy Spirit all the time to help us. The Bible says sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought to, but the Holy Spirit intercedes through us, helps us to pray. It's upon us. It's upon every one of us. Any decision that you make is for eternity. One man, one time, he had an experience of heaven, and all he saw when the angel appeared to him or came to him, brought a file, and he had so much little in the file of what he had done. And in his heart he was saying, how I wish I did much more. How I wish I did much more when I had the time to do it. There are sometimes when we are going to regret because we never did much when we had the opportunity to do. It is time to identify and to know what we ought to do in the days we are living in. Thank God for many of you that are very passionate about reaching out, outreaches and missions. Because whatever you do remains on your record in heaven. The day you show up on the doors of heaven, your record shows up. This is what you did. And the Bible says, those who win many shall shine like stars. All we do today, all we have today is just temporary. But eternal is in heaven. I know of people who have dream cars, dream jobs, dream wives and dream husbands. They have good money, but all that has not made them happy. But happy is a man who wins souls for God. I envy pastors, and somehow I look at the pastors in America and I say, wow, because people come with their problems in the house of God, and they want the pastor within 30 minutes, the service to end. They want their problems to deal with them right there, and then in 30 minutes, pastor, you are done. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Enjoy the presence of God today. Access the joy of the Lord today. Access the peace that passes all understanding. If you can bow your heads right now.
Spirit of God, we are here before you with open hands. Sometimes we are troubled beyond we can bear. But I'm so glad that we've made it in the house of God. Today I pray, oh Lord, that move upon our lives, change us, cause us to will and to do. Heal us, deliver us, bless us. The altar is open. In such a mode of prayer, if you want prayers, if you want to be in the presence of God, that's all you can do. Draw closer unto the Lord, and He will draw closer to you. Be serious with God, and God will be serious with you.